Today's Mishnah in Masechet Ha'alot is Perek Yud Chet, Mishnah Chet. Wow. Okay, yesterday we learned a special halacha that you are in a matzav of tuma. If you even walk into the house that was lived in by a goy, even in Eretz Yisrael. So this was bais of Akum, if they were there for 40 days or more. So how can we check it to make sure that there was no miscarriage or aborted fetus that is in the house? So at Mahi Bodkim, what requires bedika? I mean, obviously, the house as a whole requires bedika. I mean, that's a given. But you also have to go into the Bivima Amukim. You're going to have to go through the entire sewage system because they could just dump the baby in the bathwater. So because of that, you've got to go through the various sewers that carry water out of the house. And in usually there's a septic system that these pipes empty into. You have to go through the cesspool, that hamayim hasruchim, because they would throw miscarriages into the sewer. Beit Shammai omrim, afa ashpatot, you would also have to check your compost heaps, and afa tichoach, and any place that you see in the yard of the house, that there's soft soil, which looks like it might have been dug up, that also might have been used for burying a fetus. Beit Hillel omrim, one thing is that kol makom shachazir v'achulda yocholim lahalech bo eino tzarich bedika. In an area where you have pigs or you have rats, since these would obviously dig up any type of human remains because they would eat these things. So because of that, if the house is open to animals or the yard is open to animals, you do not need a bedika and you could be seimech on the animal itself. This is the same idea of bedika schometz. We have the same concept in the inverse, that if you have something like birds where they will eat chametz, so then we can rely on that. Now the question is, which rooms are included? So the next Mishnah, Mishnah Tet in Perek Yud Chet, Ha'itztavaniyot, the rooms at the opening of the house, you have these like kinds of porches where people would hang out and would sit around. So there were sitting rooms or porch rooms. So since the whole point of those rooms is bringing in guests and keeping it like a nice, happy place, they would not use that area to bury a miscarriage. Because of that, you don't have to be choshish for tuma in those places. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, a city of Ovdei Kochavim, Shechorva, Ein Bo Mishum Midor Ovdei Kochavim. Runes are considered to be exposed to nature, in which case all kinds of animals are going to be there, and therefore, for sure, you don't have to worry it. If, even though you don't see and you never are aware of the fact that it's a place where there are chazirim or rats, but once it's a rune, then there's all types of things that would be through there, and therefore there's nothing to check at all. Now, there's also certain places that we know were built over Kvarim, and that Chazal or Koveya are considered to be the equivalent, even though there's a suffix where they are. They're part of Eretz Yisrael, they're part. So, Mizrach Kisrin, Umarav Kisrin. So, you should know that Kisrin East and Kisrin West are considered to be built over Kvarim, and therefore, you have to treat it as a Beis HaPras. Mizrach Akko, there was a suffix whether the Mizrach area of Akko was considered to still be within the Gvulais of Eretz Yisrael of the Aliyah from above all, or not. So if it was not, then it would have a din of Eretz Amim, it would be Tomei. So originally there was a fake until the Chachomim came along and they paskined that it's Tohar and that Mizrach Akko, one of Rabarnea's favorite neighborhoods, is actually considered to be Tor and is part of Eretz Yisrael. And then there was another place which was called Keni, and Rebbe had a meeting with his Bezdin about whether Keni was considered to be a Mokum Tahar as part of Eretz Yisrael. And Rebbe Ubeidino Nimnu al Keni, so it was a suffix over there. The Rav says the suffix was whether there were kvaris in the place. People, there had been rumors that there were kvarim, and because of that, people were makbid on it, and Rebbe were nimnu al keni, and they decided that there's no basis to be machmir, to be metame. And now, our Mishnah.
Yeah? Rebbe, yeah? The Jews living in Akko, I think we're going back 1,000 years, but in ancient times, Jews living in Akko had a burial place further inland because of this suffix to make sure that they were buried in Eretz Israel. So one of the cheetahs of where the Ramchal is actually buried, it's further in. The Bedavka moved in further east so as not to be in the suffix.
Interesting. Okay, and now we have Asara Mekemais. This is another one of the Mishnayos that we learned before, that the Seferim. So this is another Mishnah that lists numbered items. So there's a numbered item of 10 places that are not part of the Gezerah on Medure Akon. Asara Mekemot in Ba Mishum Medor of the Kochavim. So one is Ohale Ha'arvim. Since these Ohalim move from place to place, so then there's no inyan of being choshesh that they were used as places where they lived long enough to make them into a reasonable chashash of tumah. Sukkot, which are basically just workmen's huts that are out in the fields, even though they're goyim, they're not actually lived in for long enough. Tsrifim are basically teepees or lean-tos. They're also not roy for long-term use. Burgenim. The burgenim are just really a shed, which really is not used by people come out ever. It's just putting the things that grew in the field, you put them in there to protect it from the elements. Halkatayot. Halkatayot is something that were very popular today. It's basically awning, a nice awning that you put out there with poles all around it. But again, there's not walls, and therefore it's not the kind of place that is considered to be a mador. A beitshar, which is the little booth that you have when you come into a chotzer. So that even though you have a guard that may be sitting there, it's not considered to be a mador. And then the avira shel chotzer, a chotzer which is just a place to hang out, and it's in the open air, and it's not part of the bayit. A merchatz, which is just the public bathhouse, even if it's used by goyim. Mokom hachitzim, a place where we store ammunition. And mokom haligyonot, and also a place where the military hangs out. So all of these places are not considered to be a type of mador where it would be possible that people would live there and would actually bury a miscarriage there. Because of that, we do not have the Gezerah of Tumah in that location. Okay, so this brings us to a very important moment, which is a Ritchie moment. And this is a Hadron Halach, Ketzad Botzrim. Hey, Hadron Halach, Ketzad Botzrim, V'slikala Meseches Oyalos. I see. I have to draw him back. Richie. So you're in no rush.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I think that a lot of the concern about Shvi'i is actually very practical and not just theoretical.
I agree.
We're learning the Mishnah of Shvi'i during the Shemitah year. That could be great, but maybe we could have one or two concentrated shiurim to talk about halacha lemaaseh for Shvi.
Oh, no, I agree. But I think we still have time to do the preparation of all the Mishnayos. And then we can do an actual preparation lahalacha, a couple, like you mentioned, a couple of times. And then we can spend the year of Shemitah doing the Yerushalmi on Shemitah as part of the Kavod HaShemitah and Bezrat Hashem. It will be nogea, you know, to everyone. Beis HaMikdash, all of the dinim, Bezrat Hashem. Coming back of the Nachlois, definitely Shemitah D'Oraisa. Everything reborn. Kimei Olam Ruch Shanim Kadmoniot. Bezrat Hashem.